saying was...
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yo, maniacs! Hulk Hogan here, the greatest of all time, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. So what you gonna do?
Knockout Radio coming to you live from Tournament Day Pizza.
Oh, and now it's tournament again.
Jerry Briscoe confirmed that Hulk Hogan is the greatest superstar of all time wrestling.
Well, no, Jerry Briscoe didn't confirm that. Just Jerry Briscoe might have said in his opinion he is.
Well, that makes it.
No, an opinion.
Who are the other opinion matters? I mean, Jerry Briscoe.
Who? Mine?
The talent scout for the WWE, a 36-year career with the WWF and E. His opinion matters, and if he says that Hogan was the greatest superstar,
I don't think he was, and that's just me, and it's not because of my dislike of him because he's close to you. That has nothing to do with it.
I just saw him. You know, he followed me the other day. I put on my Facebook post, we're driving to the beach, and I put, sometimes I follow greatness, and sometimes greatness follows me.
He didn't follow you.
He followed me to the beach. He saw the truck. He's like, oh, I know that guy.
If he was smart, he would have drove you into a ditch.
No. Why would he do that?
Because. Why wouldn't he? I mean, I would say that Terry's up there.
Yeah.
You know? And again, there's a difference. I argued with this buffoon on Facebook who said, who was your favorite? Who was your favorite, Hulk Hogan or Scott Hall?
Yeah.
I answered. And then she started to rip me.
That's
with
not right.
All the statistics of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, buffoon, I didn't say that, but I wanted to. When you say who is your favorite, it's your opinion. Scott Hall is my favorite of those two because Scott Hall, A, was an incredible, you know, performer, but B, was because he was at Gordon Solie's funeral. And that was important to me.
Has there ever been a bigger moment in wrestling history than when Hogan turned heel?
I don't think so. I don't think
so. It put the world on.
I was watching it live.
I mean, that was the craziest.
I don't know if it put it on the map, but, you know, it was WCW. I watched that whole thing. I watched the Monday Night Wars. I would literally come home from doing a radio show on Monday and throw it on.
Could I get you to get an NWO for life tattoo?
No, you can't get me to get a tattoo for anything.
NWO for a life.
If you want to go get me a t-shirt, an NWO for life t-shirt, I'd wear it.
What about an NWA, like a National Wrestlers Association tattoo?
Well, Alliance. It was the
Alliance,
National Wrestling.
Yeah,
back in the day, the NWA. I had an NWO shirt somewhere. And I purposely said somebody wanted the other shirt that I had back in the day. And I refused to give it to him. It was a Chris Benoit shirt, which I wanted to destroy.
Had bullet holes in it?
It wasn't a bullhole. It was a noose. It was a noose.
Did he hang himself?
You don't know the story of Chris Benoit?
Oh, I knew he killed his family. But
well, he killed Woman, which was with... And I almost brought Woman up. I saw a picture of Kevin Sullivan and Woman from back in the day, the old armory in Tampa. And I would leave work during lunch and go to the filmings.
Really?
Okay. I got in a little to-do with one of the referees because it was $1. Okay, $1 to get into the armory. Okay. I think it was at the armory. I'm pretty sure it was. It was $1 for the TV tapings and some things, and they ran late. I had to go back to work. So I asked for my $1 back. And he got all mad and said some stuff. And I go, it's fake.
It's not fake. It's scripted.
Well, back then it wasn't scripted. Back then it was considered real.
Oh,
you know, it was back in the city. I mean, now it's scripted. It's, you know, you don't get as upset when it's called scripted or fake. And yeah, it's scripted. It's not fake. It's real. I mean, what they do is real. What they go through is real.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't mean to imply that, even though I did. I wanted my $1 back. But I used to go. I used to take extended lunch breaks. It was close to where I used to work. I loved going there back in the day. Gordon Solie was there. Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, Harley Race, Dory Funk, names you have no idea who they are.
So what would you be more excited about? If you paid $1 to go to a taping of a wrestling match back in the day at the Armory, or pay $1 to go to the Apex to watch the taping of the Ultimate Fighter?
The wrestling.
Yeah.
Well, because the wrestling first, I don't pay a dollar to go to the Apex.
You don't pay anything.
I don't pay anything. I get to go. I'll be there in a couple of weeks. You know, it's different. It was the gimmick. It was the show. It was, you know, ravishing Rick Rude with the hip thrusts and just doing the stuff these guys.
Do you think Conor McGregor is as entertaining as any wrestler of any time?
If I happen to be at some event and Conor McGregor is there, good. I would not go out of my way to go see Conor McGregor.
Do you like Conor's
shtick? I can't stand him.
Do you like what he said last night in The Ultimate Fighter where he talked about how, like, I forget what the line was, but he's like, it's his show.
Right? Yeah, yeah, like, he said it to Chandler when he said, oh, we'll fight at 185. He goes, no, we'll fight at 184.
You'll do what I say.
You'll do what I tell you.
Yeah.
Or no, you'll do what you're told.
Right, that's what he said.
You know,
do you like that?
And you and I have talked about this. Like, I like Tito Ortiz. I like Chael Sonnen. I don't like Conor McGregor. Not that anybody cares, but you already brought it up once, maybe twice. I don't care if you had something else to do. And he probably didn't. But I don't care. This is your job. Your job is to be at the Ultimate Fighter, not being at the weigh-in. I don't care what it is. I don't care. Honestly, I don't care. Just short of, and I still don't care. Okay? Like a death or something like that. But if there was a death...
But there's allegations.
What's the allegations?
Well, Chandler said he was on coke. Or like they're accusing him of being on coke.
Alleged. I don't know nothing about
right?
that.
Right? I mean, they're taking shots at the king.
I don't care even if there was a death. And if there was a death, then he better not be on any episode. He better not be on anything else. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you were not there. Tell me Ken Shamrock would not have been there. I watched those episodes with Ken, with Tito, The Bond, why you're doing all this.
Well, Matt Brown said that he gave McConnor his flowers. He said that his accomplishments in the sport are amazing, that he was the greatest that he did, but he's terrible for the sport now, that all he does is drink, and he's on souped up on either performance-enhancing drugs.
He has brought more eyes to the sport.
But he's not a good role model.
He's not a good role model.
He's a bum.
But
he's going to be a bum when he fights. He's no longer Conor McGregor.
Hold on, let me jump in. He's not a good role model. And nobody should be a good role model. And I have said that, and we've talked about it, and I've told my kids that. I don't want my kids looking up to an athlete. I don't want my kids looking up to an actor. I don't want my kids my kids should look up to my wife and myself. My kids should look up to aunts and uncles. You know, looking up to an actor, why? Now, it's different when you're in the gym, or like Pat Miletich, I get. If I was in the gym with Pat Miletich all the time, I'd look up to Joe Marquis to a certain point. Well, no, I look down because he's smaller than me. So.
Oh, man, you're just trying to get beat up by everybody.
Well, no, he is smaller than me. His height, man, he's like 5'6". So I look down to him.
Man.
How do you look up to a guy shorter than you?
Man.
But no, I wouldn't go out of my way. You know, I don't go to Conor McGregor press conferences.
Because you don't want to get hit with an energy drink?
No, I want to get hit by an energy drink.
Oh, because it pays out.
Oh, yeah, it pays. Yeah.
Those are better odds than Vegas.
Absolutely. I'm all for it. All right, let's go hit a quick break. Then when we come back, we'll reach back out to the UFC and Tim Elliott on the card this weekend. We'll hopefully speak to him when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Side.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Martin Gramatica, talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Travis Proctor. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament to Pizza. This is Knockout Radio brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone as we continue to get ready for another UFC weekend. Love UFC weekends. I hate when there's a week off.
Yeah, don't know what to do on
I don't want
to
talk about other sports. Yeah. I just want to talk about this. So let's head back out to Las Vegas, back out to the Apex, and welcome to the program, Tim Elliott. Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate your time. Let's get right into it. I know it's Wednesday. It's just the start of fight week. What's fight week like for you, and is it always the same? Do you keep it consistent, or do you try to, like, mix it up a little bit?
You know, I used to really try to keep it consistent, but I've been out of the game for over a year since my last fight. A lot has changed since then. I got a new team, a new coach, so the diet people here at the UFCPI are all different, so it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. I came into fight week a little heavier than I normally do, so it's going to be a tough weight cut.
So you're already at that, so we won't talk any food questions, any of that. What I did notice, though, let's lighten it up for a second, that you share the birth date with my sister. So I'm curious, how much did December 24th suck for you?
Oh, man, not so much now because nobody buys me shit anyway, but, you know, when I was younger, I really kind of got screwed out of got to open one present on my birthday, you know, once you get older, that stuff all kind of passes.
I remember it vividly, but my parents would come out, all right, Rosalie, this is your birthday and Christmas and Hanukkah gift. You know, yet, yeah. You know, I was in November, so I got November, and then I got December, and that's all we felt so bad for, so it had to be awful. But, and I'm sure you know this, parents love birth dates that late in the year for tax purposes.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You get that whole year tax deduction. You know, you've had the baby for a week.
Yeah. I would have relatives that would get jealous that I would get to open a present a day early. So then they would get to open one anyway on my birthday.
So they took advantage of your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Give me your thoughts on your opponent. Tell me about Victor.
You know, he's a younger guy. I think he's 30. He got a good record. He's really tough. Going to be hard to finish. But I know a lot of about what he is because I was similar when I first started out in the UFC. He has a bunch of awkward movements, but he moves the same no matter what. No matter who he's fighting, he always fights the same. His movements aren't really with a purpose. He's just moving to be moving, and I can pick up on that because that's how I was when I first started out too. So I feel like it's a perfect matchup for me because now my movements all come with a purpose and for a reason, and stylistically, I don't think I could have a better opponent for me.
Definitely. That's interesting. And I would always ask, is it not even really what the opponent is doing or is going to do? It's more what you're going to do to the opponent. Have them react to you, not you reacting to them.
Well, and that's the difficult thing with this guy is he's not going to react to what I'm doing. He's going to do what he's going to do no matter what. So that does make him dangerous in a sense. And normally I like to be the more weird, more awkward guy in the cage. And normally if there's a clash of heads or something like that, it works to my favor. But with this guy, I think it would be more in his favor to clash heads. So I'm going to have to be a little bit leery of his head movement and the way he dips and stuff. But at the end of the day, they're all going to be tough. They're all going to be hard. And I'm just blessed to be able to finally be able to do this and be able to do this at this level, at this age.
I tend to ask the fighters a lot of time, you know, are you thinking, what are you thinking? Or are you not thinking, you know, like when you do a radio show, you try not to think, you're just kind of reacting. But the way you're talking, you are thinking, you're not going to be reacting. You're thinking during this whole thing.
So with this fight, especially, I'll be thinking because my opponent's not going to be thinking. He's just going to be doing. Normally, that's me. That's what I try to do. I try to just go out and do and have people react to me. But I feel like I'm a little bit faster than this guy, even though I'm older. I feel like he's going to come out strong. So I'm going to be a thinker in this fight, which is, you know, that's not typically my style. But I'm getting older now, and I got to make these adjustments. Like, I can't fight like these young kids. I have to. And I'm not going to be able to outwork these young kids. I have to figure out a game plan and a strategy, and I think we have that down pat for this fight.
So Tim, obviously being the tough 24-season winner, you know, and being fired from the UFC and then back again, you know, do you like the setup that they've set up? Did you watch last night? And is it re-motivating you for this fight coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, I love the setup. I love the way they pick their teams. The coaches are great. I feel like it's a good fight. I was a little bit irritated because these guys are getting to call their families and talk to their kids while they're out there, because I got none of that. No computer, no TV, no cell phone, nothing. We could watch the fights that came on while we were in the house, and that's it. So I was a little bit jealous, because the hardest part for me being at the show for 7 weeks was being away from my newborn baby. So I had a little bit of jealousy, but I love seeing it, because that made my career. I was fired by the UFC, and the only way I was going to get back in was through the Ultimate Fighter. And not only did I get back into the Ultimate Fighter, but I got to fight for a world championship against the pound-for-pound best guy in the world.
As you say that, you know, I've tried to get on some reality shows. I applied to Survivor, and I know I would win Survivor if I ever got on it, just between the whole world and myself. But I've always told my wife that when you get to, I don't know if you watch Survivor, but if you get to a certain point, you get, you know, letters or you get the video from home. And I've always told them wouldn't want it. I would turn it down. I'm trying to block that out so I can get through this hell that we were going through, whether it's Survivor, when I was in the military or whatever. So would it have been different if it wasn't a newborn baby and a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old?
No, I mean, I'm going through that right now. I had to leave my hometown, Kansas City, and my daughter's 8 now. And this is the longest, other than the Ultimate Fighter, this is the longest I've ever been away from her. It's always been her and I. She moved to Las Vegas with me when she was 1 year old, just her and I, to try to make it in the UFC. And, you know, we were sleeping on mats on the floor, and our TV was sitting on a footstool, and we had lawn chairs for living room furniture. Like, we were really roughing it. So it's never easy being away from my kid. And the only time I had an opportunity to FaceTime home during the Ultimate Fighter was whoever won the season won 2 motorcycles. One for me and one for somebody that inspired me. But I didn't know where my daughter was, so I had to have the Ultimate Fighter figure out where my daughter was, because I was going to pick who inspired me based on wherever my kid was at, so when I FaceTimed, I could see my daughter.
Oh, God, that's so smart.
Wow.
That's crazy.
A cool story.
And wait until, and, you know, parents always tell their children, wait till you have grandchildren. So it is a little different. I have a 3-year-old granddaughter, so, yeah, I wouldn't. They live 3 doors down. I walk down and see her twice a day. So it is totally different for sure. You mentioned, you know, living in Vegas. And so I want to ask you more a personal question. I've come and cover a lot of UFCs in Vegas. And people have always said there's other things to do in Vegas, you know, not just the strip. And how many times can I go to Red Rock Canyon? What else is there to do when I come back out?
Yeah, so my favorite thing to do, and it's really one of my favorite things to do no matter anywhere in the world, is they have the hot springs. They have Arizona Hot Springs and the Gold Strike Canyon Hot Springs. They're both on opposite sides of the Colorado River. You have to go in the months where it's not super hot, but it's a 5 or 6 mile hike through Slot Canyon. And then you get down into this boiling hot water, and you have to go down levels to get to water that's bearable enough to sit in. And then you can sit in that hot water and then go right down to the freezing cold Colorado River and just go back and forth. My daughter and I kayaked from the Hoover Dam to Willow Beach, and we stopped and stayed the night there at the hot springs and sat in the hot springs all night and swam in the cold river. It's an amazing place.
That is awesome, but I'm old and fat, so I'm not hiking 5 miles anywhere. Yeah. So like give me someplace else.
Golden Gate Canyon's a little easier.
You have like a gondola or something, I think.
for sure.
So Tim, like, so obviously you talked about like the beginning and roughing it and the struggle from the bottom. Now on your Instagram, Jack Black, got to meet you in a recent photo. So, who is the biggest star you fought in front of? Do you get starstruck when they come to the fights? I mean, obviously the UFC is the biggest promotion, but who's the biggest star you've ever fought for or in front of?
I don't know about fought for or in front of. There's always guys in the crowd, but one person that was following me on Instagram before I started following them, and I'm a huge fan of, I always watch during fight week, is Gordon Ramsay. I watch all his shows, like Hotel Hell. But I went to follow Gordon Ramsay, and I saw that he was already following me. So this was years ago. But every single fight, I tell him, and he's on TV every week, but we talk back and forth on Instagram. But every fight, I tell him I have 2 tickets for him if he ever wants to come. And, he's always busy, but he always tells me good luck and gives me some inspirational stuff for my fights. So I'm a huge fan of Gordon Ramsay and somebody that I've always wanted to meet and always wanted to fight in front of. And I always have 2 tickets waiting for him anytime he wants to come to one of my fights.
Now, does he reciprocate and say that you always have a table for 2 at any of his restaurants?
No, he hasn't. But early on, so when he very first started following me, I actually went to one of his restaurants here in Vegas, and the food was really good. And I was just being a smartass, and I tweeted about the food being good, but the chairs were really shitty. Like, the tables were kind of high, and the chairs, like, sunk down really low. So I felt like a kid because the table was, like, coming up to my neck, and I had to reach up to my food because I'm not a big guy anyway. And then he tweeted me back that he got it fixed. And then next time I went in there, all the chairs were different.
Wow. Well, that's good stuff for sure.
That's awesome.
Well, before we let you go, let everybody know, let the fans across the country, across the world know, what can they expect when Tim Elliott gets back in the octagon this weekend?
Man, this one's going to be different, guys. I've been working some pretty cool different footwork stuff and different striking things. And normally I try to just take guys down and grind them out. But this fight, I'm going to try to knock them out and do something really cool. I need that bonus money. I'm searching for that bonus money, and I'm going to get a knockout.
Cool. Well, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from Ape Man Strong. I'll send some other extra stuff for your daughter as well. And have fun on Saturday.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you guys' time.
Awesome. Take care. Tim Elliott back in the octagon.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I'd love to try to hike 5 miles. I would need 4 days.
Yeah, and...
And food.
And a stretcher.
I could do it. I just need I need somebody to carry a backpack for me of food. And then.
Well, but you could hike there. You got to hike back.
That would be like when so I did miles. The car thing.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and quick break. When we come back, we'll continue. Ultimate Fighter time to talk at the bottom of the hour. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Sun.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Adam Rodriguez from CSI Miami, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
Saturday, June 24th, the UFC returns to Jacksonville. The heavy-handed Josh Emmett looks to turn back undefeated phenom Ilia Topuria, plus dangerous Brazilian Amanda Ribas. Takes on the future Macy Barber. Don't miss UFC Fight Night. Emmett versus Topuria, live from ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Duffy Waldorf from the PGA Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Or the pizza, or tournament day pizza.
Just make up your mind.
Or a pizza.
Can you spell WOW?
Oh, upside down is mom.
Okay, but spell WOW.
Mom?
WOW last night.
WOW.
Ultimate Fighter, season 31. This will be my 31st season of covering the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Of course, I don't remember breakfast. I'm going to say that. That's my disclaimer. But I don't remember a more impactful first episode. And, well, before I get beat up again, let's welcome our next guest, last night's victor, Roosevelt Roberts. Roosevelt, how are you?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. We're only going to talk about, obviously, what we saw on TV last night. But before the fight itself, and again, WOW, what was the first thing you did when you got in the house? Did you know, you know, we've always talked about this for the past 31 seasons, the first thing you do is find your bed.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The first thing, you know, because the prospects was the first group in the house, so they got to pick their spots a little earlier before us. So we definitely was in a rush to get there. But we ran down to the dungeon and we had the downstairs room, so that was pretty dope.
Now, as the veterans, and I tell my wife this all the time, I was in the military, there's a difference between hazing and bullying. Now, wouldn't it be considered hazing then as a veteran to walk in and say, yo, I'm the vet, you're the prospect, get out?
Yeah, definitely. But I don't know. You know, it was the first night in the house. So it was just kind of just like everybody's just trying to get used to each other too and used to the environment, you know. But it was a good experience for sure.
Talk about, which was very emotional, I'm sure, to talk about. And it was emotional to watch because, you know, we talk all the time, you know, that it's easy to get somewhere. It's harder to stay there. And that's what you talked about, you know, your experience in the UFC before and what this opportunity and how you're a different person now.
Yeah, definitely. You know, my first contract, you know, I made some mistakes, you know. I wasn't taking it as seriously as I should have. Wasn't as prepared as I was supposed to be. And, you know, I was just losing faith in myself, you know. So, you know, I feel like the time now I had to take off, it's been like 2 years now. You know, it was much needed. You know, it made me realize what I had to do, made me realize what I was missing, and realize what was important to me, you know. So I felt like it needed to happen, even though I really didn't want it to happen. But, you know, it was something that needed to happen for my career and to make me a better man and a better fighter for sure.
What was the experience like, you know, getting the phone call? Did you know the phone call was coming? Did you know the setup of what this was going to be, prospects versus veterans? Or when you got the phone call, that's when it was kind of all laid out to you?
No, actually, my management team just sent me, they just hit me up on Instagram one day and they're like, hey, do you want to try for the Ultimate Fighter? And then I was just like, yeah. You know, I had a fight lined up with LFA, so I was already kind of like getting ready. So I was like, you know what, like, hey, just put me on there. You know, if they pick me, you know, I'll do it. If not, you know, I got this fight lined up anyways. So yeah, we just threw our name in the hat, and then they hit me up sometime in like the end of January, beginning of February, and they told me to come out. And you know, that's just how it went.
You know, it's easy to ask a question when the answer has already been done. So I don't mean to do it that way, but I'm curious. Were you glad that you were not on Team Conor McGregor? Because you don't seem like the type of guy, you know, to do the antics and the gimmicks and, you know, Conor not showing up for the weigh-in and that kind of stuff. So were you glad that you were a Team Chandler?
Yeah, definitely. I was super happy that I got Team Chandler, man. You know, with Conor, I just didn't think our personalities mixed pretty well, you know. And, you know, a lot of things that I didn't like that when I was seeing it. So I just felt like it was a blessing to be able to be with Team Chandler, you know. And, you know, they down there in Florida, you know, that's my hometown, you know. And, you know, I felt like that would be a good opportunity to be able to get work with them, you know, gain a relationship, and, you know, maybe one day going down there and training on there full time, you know. So I felt like being on Team Chandler was going to be the best option for me.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. To make me a cambric shirt, a deep forest green, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
We are back. I think we got hit by lightning or temporarily hit by
show in a thunderstorm. is doing the GNAT in the thunderstorm. That's just a big lightning rod on the back of my truck.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near there.
So maybe it, I consumed the power of the lightning and knocked us out.
You did.
It is knockout radio.
It is knockout radio.
You got knocked out by lightning or knocked out by a fist? What's the matter? Which one hits harder?
Is Roosevelt, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, hey, yeah.
All right, we appreciate it. Yeah, we got hit by lightning. It's pouring here in St. Pete. So,
well, and as of last night, I watched the Ultimate Fighter, and you talked about how you wanted to relocate to South Florida to get closer to your family and your kids and continue your training after this experience is over. So get used to these afternoon thunderstorms, my man, because this is what happens.
Yeah, definitely. Nah, definitely. Born and raised in Florida, so, you know, I already know how them thunderstorms are and stuff. So it's crazy.
And, you know, I grew up in St. Pete. It would typically rain like 15 minutes before we got out of school. It would rain for about an hour and a half, which meant I got soaked walking the mile and a half uphill back and forth from school. And then I had to go to work once the rain stopped. That's typical Florida weather. So let's get back to, and thank you very much for sticking through the lightning, what the experience was like leading up to the fight last night. You're in the house. How long was it from the time you got into the house until your first fight in real time?
In real time, it was about six days. I was a week. It was pretty quick. As soon as we got in there, you know, we picked the teams and we got right to work.
Now, we just had Jason Knight on, who obviously doesn't fight, you know, for 7 weeks. He's the next to last fight. Did you like the fact that you were right out of the blocks?
Yeah, definitely. Because, like I said, before I even knew I was going to be an Ultimate Fighter, I was actually getting ready for a fight with LFA. So, my weight was already low. I was already walking around like 163, 164. And that's light. That's really light for me, you know? I was like, man, I just want to hurry up and get it over with, you know? Then I have some more time just to get some more knowledge from the coaches that Chandler brought. And, so I definitely wanted to get in there and just, you know, set the tone.
Obviously, this season of the Ultimate Fighter, the 31st season, a lot is different. You know, yes, veterans versus prospects. You know, normally we wouldn't know. Now, I don't really know what happens in the house, but we wouldn't know the third fight until the second week. Everything is now scheduled out. And Michael Chandler basically made a comment that just because he ranked 1 through 4 doesn't mean that's really what he thought. He was trying to pick matchups. So did where you were on that hypothetical 1 through 4 matter to you at all?
No, that ain't matter to me. I mean, it didn't matter at all, actually, honestly. I knew I'm confident in what I have to do. And I know they told us beforehand that their numbers wasn't going to be like what they really felt about us, I guess. So I was just like, you know, I'm cool with whatever number, you know. Honestly, me personally, I wanted to start off the show by beating up McGregor's boy. That was my way of thinking about it. But so it just happened that I got picked to fight Nate.
See, I thought I was getting to know you really well, and as you started to say, to be honest, I really wanted. I thought you were going to say you really wanted to start the show by beating up Conor McGregor.
Yeah, but there definitely is a couple times where I definitely wanted to put my hands on him in the house for sure. But you guys will see that when the show comes.
We'll see that, and hopefully we'll have you on it as the season continues. What was the best thing other than and was it 5 or was it 8 seconds? How long was that fight?
It was 8. I think it was 8. No, not because yesterday I was counting. I was making sure I looked at the clock. So yeah, it was 8 seconds, man. I think that's my fastest knockout. Yeah, that's my fastest knockout throughout my whole career. So, you know, it feels good to get that done like that. You know, to go through what I went through, get cut. To go through that roller coaster for the 2 years I was out and not really believe in myself, and then to get that opportunity and then go make a statement like that, man, that felt amazing.
And I'm sure you didn't think about it this way. And again, we're only talking through last night, but you had to have thought when that episode was shot, you know, it's a tournament. You know, you win, you have to fight again. in not a normal, you know, process. You know, it's not 3 months, 6 months. You know, you're going to fight in the next couple of weeks. So not taking a punch, not taking any damage had to make you feel good along with everything else that happened.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, I felt like, just going there and making it and getting it done quick was cool. Like you said, no injuries, no. Well, I hurt my middle finger, and that was lingering through the whole time. But, you know, that was nothing really, you know. I was like, that is just a little baby thing that I really got worried about. I have pretty worse injuries after a fight before, so I was definitely happy just to have that little bruise.
Sure. I was going to try to be funny. I'm not the comedian of the show, but I was going to say you hurt your finger sticking it up, meaning you're number one, but you said it was the middle finger. So
yeah.
I'm sure that's why you did it. What was the most surprising thing from the time you entered the house, from the time you were picked? You know, I don't know if it was picked and then the house, how that whole thing went down, until leading up to the fight. Does anything surprise you or anything happen that, you know, you didn't expect, whether it was the food in the house, the liquor? That you can make phone calls?
Well, I think the only thing that was that surprised me that I didn't know about was the food list. Was like, every day you get the, when you wake up, you get to write anything you want on this list. And like the next day or whenever they could find it or get it, they're going to have it, you know? So when I seen that, that was definitely like a definite experience that I wish I could have throughout my whole life. You know,
I tried that and my wife said, get in the car and get it your damn self.
Yeah.
Well, Roosevelt, we appreciate your time. Congratulations. What a statement you made last night.
Huge.
I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from Ape Man Strong. And let's stay in touch. And when you get, well, you're probably back in Florida now. Let's get you up the Tampa way and we'll show you some fun stuff to do here in Tampa, St. Pete.
Oh, yeah, I'm down for that for sure. Thank you guys for having me. And I appreciate you guys.
We will definitely talk again. That is Roosevelt Roberts, made a huge statement last night, episode one, season 31.
Love the story, man. Like, and you can tell he's humbled and grateful for this, and it was great to see it pan out this way for him. Great guy.
We will talk more about last night's episode after our final break of the afternoon. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong, Staff Zone, and The Lightning.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Who is the Macho Man Randy Savage? And when I want to catch up on all the sports, I listen to the Randy Harris Show. That's the bottom line.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza. Tour de Pizza, visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yo, what's up? This is DDP, Diamond Dallas Page World Championship Wrestling, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
We were talking about wrestling earlier, WWF and WWE / WCW. I missed the WCW days.
Okay.
Macho Man, DDP.
Can I just say DDP is doing it right? I mean, a guy that laid it all out there, lived the life, and then at the back end of his career is giving back to so
saving
many guys.
Lives. Yeah.
To the DDP yoga and taking guys in when they're broken and they're just not there mentally, and he gives them like encouragement. I mean, like, shout out to that guy.
Let me tell you a quick story about Diamond Dallas Page. Now, Page is his last name, I believe. Maybe not. I don't know. Dallas certainly isn't his first name, which is ironic. Maybe Page is his first name, and I think his daughter or his wife's name is Page or something. It's just crazy how that whole thing. But let me tell you about DDP. What a class dude this guy is. Okay, so I hadn't met him. Talked to him on Twitter, you know, that kind of stuff. I invited him to Nashville, and we flew him in. I have never seen a bigger pop, ever.
When a star walks in, like
this room at the Palm restaurant, located across the street from the arena, across the courtyard of the Country Music Hall of Fame, what we would do, what Kevin Carter would do, is Kevin Carter would bring all the stars in, put them in the room, close the door, and give his little speech.
Right.
And the speech basically was, we're all stars.
Okay.
I don't care how many gold albums you have, how many Super Bowls you have, how many this, how many that. This is for the kids.
Oh, all-star, not all-stars.
They're all stars.
So it's not all hyphen star.
Right.
Like the, got it.
Correct. We're, you are, he didn't even say we. Right. He said, you are. Darius Rucker, Little Big Town. I'm trying to think of some of the big Scott Hamilton. Well, no, just Darius Rucker.
That is Hootie and the Blowfish.
Well, yeah, but Darius.
Without Darius Rucker, there is no Hootie and the Blowfish.
No, Hootie is from Hootie and the Blowfish. Okay, but Darius Rucker, when he went solo, was Darius Rucker.
Yeah, but without Darius Rucker, there is no Hootie.
Maybe. Maybe. The Commodores still go around without Lionel Richie. They're not as good.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is. So anyway, so I remember it vividly. So we're in the room. Legends are in this room. Okay. Tito Ortiz came every year. Frank Shamrock came. Randy Couture came every year. You know, I brought a lot from the combat side. Ric Flair came. Wes Sims came. I'm trying to think, there were some other wrestlers, you know, that came. Jay DeMarcus, all the guys from Rascal Flatts. And when DDP walked into that room, the crap hit the fan.
Wow.
It's like, holy, bigger than Ric Flair.
Wow.
And you know, I'm the Ric Flair guy.
You are.
You know, we argue which is bigger, which is the bigger pop, blah, 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 blah. DDP, it was off the chain, right? So I brought DDP. I helped set it up, blah, 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 blah. So after the charity event, we then would go to an after party where, again, I almost got beat up, which I think I've told this story
you
before.
You have a pattern there.
With Jason Fritz.
Okay.
Jason Fritz, who was the band director of the band Perry.
Okay.
Okay. He was the fiddler player. He was the fiddler. Juilliard trained the whole nine yards. I know I've told this story before. Remind me to get back to Paige. So my son, Sean, wanted to meet Jason Fritz more than anybody.
Yeah.
And we would alternate. My daughter would come a year, my son came the next year, and back and forth. Sean got to go the year Jason Fritz was there. All he wanted to meet was Jason Fritz. So Jason, when we're at the after party, Jason went walking down Broadway to try to find a fiddle because they're all up on stage. Jay DeMarcus is playing. Randy goes nowhere without his harmonica. They're all up there jamming. Jason is looking for a fiddle. So I'm talking to Jason's wife, and I told her that all Sean wanted to do was meet Jason, and she starts tearing up. She starts bawling. Jason walks back into the bar with the fiddle as I'm standing next to his wife, and she's bawling. I'm like, I'm getting my butt kicked.
Wow.
You know, and she broke down because Jason left a major band,
yeah,
touring the world, doing what he loved, left it to go do what he loved even more.
Commentating
and being a sports talk show host, and you know, he just filled in for Keyshawn, I think, on Monday and stuff. So yeah, the list of me almost getting beat up, you know, is endless. So we all go to the after party, and then there's an after party after the after party. And you know, I barely go to the after party.
Sure.
I go back to my room. The phone rings at like 3 a.m. I roll over. It's Paige, thanking me for bringing him to this great event. I've brought a lot of people. And I can count on maybe one finger. You know, there's been people after. Wes Sims has thanked me, Randy, you know, on a regular basis. But he did it that night at 3 a.m. Thanks for waking me up. I appreciate it. But
we got to take a drive up to Atlanta and go do a yoga class.
I've done it. Personal.
In Atlanta?
Yeah, in the studio. Yeah. I went to the studio. And again, I'm not as dumb as I look. I drove the Staff Zone Jeep. so that then we got a picture of Paige at the Staff Zone Jeep. But he put me through a personal, which you can do. You can pay for that. I have a lifetime membership to DDP Yoga.
Well, I have a Jeep, and we can go up there. I'll drive. You don't have to do anything. You just make the call.
How about if I just fly up?
Call him at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I should. it was tremendous.
He can train us, and I'll train him.
Yeah, that, we ain't doing that. We ain't going to the Jeep. We'll fly up. He put me through a 45-minute, I think it was. It might have been 30. A 30, 45-minute workout that I swear to you, I thought we did it for 5 minutes. So it's similar to the gimmick you have on the Jeep. Well, you know how you – well, it's a gimmick. That you can work out in 6.5 minutes, yeah, and blah, blah, blah. So
it's efficient.
It felt like I worked my butt off, but it was pretty quick too when it was a half an hour or 45 minutes.
Sure.
DDP is one of the coolest people I've ever met in my life.
Well, call him. Let's set it up.
I talk to him often.
Well, tell him I'm coming.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll move.
I'm bringing you with me.
I'm sure he'll leave.
Come on. And it is cool. Like Jason, what's his name? Jason Chef?
Which one? Jason Chef or Jason Fritz?
Jason Fritz.
Okay.
So that's, you know, that's why I'm into the talk radio scene. I mean,
he's good.
The burst that I get when I walk in places, like the ovations, as you can hear from the crowd. I mean, they just love it. They love what I do. And that's why I'm like Hogan. Once I hear the roar of the crowd, I just knew I couldn't make pizzas anymore. I had to be a star.
There's so many different directions I could go. I don't even.
But they only clack because I give her a free round of drinks.
Yeah, everybody at the restaurant. Now, I like the guy sitting to our left. He seems like a good dude until he said he believes you more than he believes Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have Jesus on my arm. So Jesus is like right there. So he believes in one guy and you got both.
I asked him.
Like, buy one, get one free.
I asked him. He must be comping your food today.
Oh, yeah. That's why he said that. That's why the claps and the round of applauses. But we talked about. At the beginning of the show, who's the legendary guy we talked to? Jerry
Briscoe.
Yeah, Jerry Briscoe.
God, you're an idiot.
And his brother Jack. But we were talking about Ken Shamrock and Frank Shamrock, and they're not brothers.
They're not blood brothers.
They're not blood brothers.
And that's why, and I've met Frank, and Frank was a cool dude. Ken and I are basically like, I love Ken Shamrock to death. Well, they have almost fought a couple times. Now, granted, they had fought growing up.
Uh-huh.
But everybody's like, oh, it'll be the first. They're not brothers.
Yeah, they're not blood brothers. They're brought in.
Well, they're not brothers. They're adopted, I mean, yeah, right. They're adopted.
Yeah.
And there were some issues and this, that, the other, and Bob Shamrock, but he brought them both in. There's a long, dragged-out story. But, you know, that's not the same. Yeah, I mean, they're not brothers. So saying two brothers are going to fight, they grew up together.
Right.
You know, but there's still not that bond that of blood.
Brother, right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's cool that we talked about, you know, how they were actual blood brothers doing wrestling, doing the entertainment, doing the sport.
They were the real deal. They were so cool back in the day. I made him seem even older than he is. He's a little bit older than me. But, you know, I remember vividly, you know, wrestling at the Armory.
Yeah.
The Armory was so cool.
I mean, we always invite people to come to the restaurant. But if you wanted to set it up, I will gladly deliver pizza to them on the way home. I mean, he mentioned Lutz. And I mean, I live there.
Yeah, so I don't want you.
I can just drop it off.
No.
And I can deliver an ass whooping to his house.
Not at his house.
I'm a wrestler.
Yeah. His son will come down. He was Aces and Eights. Yeah. That was the group he was in. It was called Aces and Eights. And bad dude. Big, tall, mountain of a man.
Okay.
Wes Briscoe.
Yeah.
Well, I miss those days. I would get the call from Gordon Sully. What are you doing? I don't remember if he talked that way, but he would bring me backstage and I hung out with and.
But because the wrestling was such a big in Florida and the finishing school was here, you know, that's why we have so long a lineage of pro wrestling in this Tampa market before they moved, obviously, to Orlando for filming and in other areas.
Steve Kern ran that. I don't know if you know that. Oh. So when Jerry Briscoe mentioned Steve Kern ran the Performance Center, which was on the corner of Dale Mabry and Gandhi. And I remember talking to Steve because they would all go to Smoothie King that was owned by Michael Pittman, and Sean was the manager at Smoothie King. So all these wrestlers would come in, Sheamus and, you know, all these that went on. And I made a comment to him once about what a polite guy Sheamus is, whatever his real name is. And he goes, that's mandatory. If you're not that, we don't want you.
Oh, wow.
You know, so they set that groundwork early,
sure.
You know, so that when you do become that big superstar. But all right. So the inaugural 3-hour show went off with only a little bit of lightning. not first annual. Because now that it's done, we can. You know, you can't call it an annual.
That's why I'm nice to everybody, because when I become a star, I want everybody to love me.
Yeah, nobody will love you now or then.
I give out free drinks.
All right, we are done. Good job. First 3-hour show. We'll be back next week. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sergeant.